It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. A bill in the state legislature would allow apprenticeship programs to increase the ratio of apprentices to journey workers.
State law only allows a journey worker to instruct one apprentice at a time. The bill would allow two to one.
Several labor unions oppose the bill, raising safety concerns. Some business groups support the legislation.
We're checking in with skilled tradespeople on both sides of the issue. Jeff Disher is a master electrician and owner of Disher Electric in Stevens Point. He's former board chair of the Associated Builders and Contractors of Wisconsin. Jeff, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
Jeff, why do you support expanding the apprenticeship ratio in Wisconsin? What should that do for your business?
Well, you know, sometimes it ain't all about me, but it's the look in the eyes when I tell someone that, hey, we just don't have enough skilled guys because we're one-to-one. That I can't put you on the apprenticeship this year. You can work for me, but you can't go the apprenticeship. And, you know, and I think the tide has changed where not everybody wants to go to college. Everybody's realizing that there's money to be made in the trades, that you can have a great job. You don't have to be stuck with large bills of student debt that drag you down for years and years and years, that there's an ability to make good money and go into a trade and have a long-term career that can carry you through your lifetime.
What is the distinction there between you can come work for me, but you can't go the apprenticeship route? What is the difference there?
The difference is that you're going to school, you're getting paid to go to school, you're learning through the curriculum that is written through approved trade school that is done mostly at the tech schools. All the trainings are done at tech schools at this time. And you're learning both the written and the on-the-job type learning. So
how much of a need is there for you to train more apprentices? What is demand like?
So right now, approximately 41% of the construction workforce is projected to retire by 2031. The need is great, and that's actually from a Center for Construction and Education Research statistics that's been put out. The need is great. I mean, there's going to be a skills gap in there that because of the talk of having to go to college and kind of demoralizing the fact of going into trades for so many years, that the skilled people that are in the skilled trades are going to be retiring, and there won't be that person to train someone and that pass their gifts along, you know, in that trade. So
are you having trouble keeping up with the demand for your services?
At times we do. Yes, we work a lot of overtime and put a lot of stress on the guys to try to make sure that they're, you know, we're trying to keep up with projects and stuff like that. There's a high demand. We hear all the time, fair, your wages, I mean, your fees are fair for what you provide. And it's, you know, I believe that the demand is not going to go away, and it's only going to grow because of all the people that are moving into the area that we live in and stuff, and are going to be shopping and living in our areas with multifamily building up and everything. So
you mentioned the trade school book learning, but what goes into training an apprentice electrician on the job?
So on the job, they're actually monitored through their process of, you know, being with someone that is skilled and taught. You're being taught, and a lot of people that we bring in now don't have a lot of times the hands-on, so we have to be with them quite a bit, trying to put them in positions that they learn through repetitiveness and are watched thoroughly through the process or whatever by the skilled person, that journeyman or whatever, and that to pass that along. But it's really a process that they grow steadily through that. That first year is really difficult. Then they just seem to start clicking, it does and stuff. But not all these kids that come out of high school and everything that are actually hands-on. So they have to get a lot of knowledge in that first year to start to take off and grow in that. So
thinking about the job site though, are there certain, I don't know, complex or difficult procedures that you carry out as a master electrician that you would never teach with a higher ratio than 1-to-1?
Well, there's always standards. An apprentice is not allowed to work on live, let's say, live circuits at all. We try not to work on live circuits no matter what. But there are times that you must or whatever, but for the most part, we try not to. But they are never allowed to. An apprentice is never allowed to be in a live panel, let's say, or anything of that nature. So they're not allowed to do certain things that would put them in any harm's way because of their lack of skill or whatever, and that they haven't built up yet. So
how well do you think an electrician could train two apprentices at the same time?
I was, I did some, when I testified in Madison, I took statistics of, universities, and what University of Madison has 28 to 33 students per professor in a classroom. I know that's different. It's not hands-on, but you're talking architects, whatever it may be, engineers that are designing buildings, and they're teaching these students in there and that is actually accepted, where we're not able to train more than two. I think it's very easily for someone to work with two. Sometimes it's actually nice for that person not to be intimidated. They have someone that works alongside of them that has the same skill set and gives them that feel of comfort or whatever, knowing that, hey, we're kind of working side by side. This other man or woman is watching over us and training us, and we have this, kind of a level playing field with two people, let's say, in the room or whatever, that are at the same skill set.
We're talking with Jeff Disher from Disher Electric in Stevens Point about a bill in the legislature that would allow journey workers to train apprentices in a 2-to-1 ratio instead of the current 1-to-1 limit. Jeff, why do you think labor unions, including the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers in Wisconsin, oppose this bill?
Well, I don't want to speak to that, speak about them too much. I want to kind of, they do their thing, we do our thing. We try not to get in their business. We try to leave them alone. But most, a union actually, and it was brought up in when I was testifying, that most union electrical trades, I think I speak to, is our training at 3-to-1. We're trying to go to 2-to-1, and that's all we're asking for is 2-to-1. Most unions are training at 3-to-1. I don't believe our skilled guys are any less skilled, so I'm not sure why we wouldn't be qualified to, but they're saying that we're not at this point. I'm not sure why that would be that way, so.
But electricity is high stakes. I mean, there are no do-overs with electrocution. And I know you said that these apprentices aren't working on live lines or a live panel. But does that fact cross your mind at all?
Oh, always does. We are always taking safety as a top priority. We have safety manuals we follow. We have safety inspections. I've got a couple of plaques behind me of safety awards that we've had that, in 2024, we had zero accidents in our business. 20 guys in the field and we have zero accidents. I feel that's pretty good, something to boast about. So that is a priority. Number one is safety on ours. We have also, ABC has, five full-time safety inspectors that come out, that are paid to come out on our jobs and actually inspect us through these processes and that, and we utilize them. So.
And ABC stands for
Associated Builders and Contractors. Sorry. Yes.
No, that's okay. Thank you for that. Before I let you go, Jeff, do you think this is an issue that is more important for smaller contractors and family-run businesses versus the larger construction companies in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I believe it is. When you're trying to get ahead in apprentices, it's very difficult when it's 1-to-1. You can train one, but let's say it's one journeyman. Let's say you're a master electrician, you are, and it's just you, and you hire one, you put him through the apprenticeship. You now have to carry him for 4 years before you can add your next apprentice. You know, and those are the companies that are being stifled the most, the ones that are smaller, that are, you know, just your mom and pops, or that young man or woman that says, hey, I want to become a contractor and grow my business. I have this drive in me to grow. They're being stifled and stopped, and their energy is burned up. They can't find these people out there. They're not making a journeyman on a daily basis that you can, you know, just grab and take. So it's very difficult. So to grow is always going to be very difficult for somebody that is smaller. So,
Jeff, thank you for joining us.
No problem.
That is Jeff Disher, a master electrician and owner of Disher Electric in Stevens Point. He was with us to share why he supports a bill in the state legislature that would allow for a greater ratio of apprentices to journey workers. Now we're turning our attention to the labor union groups who oppose this legislation. Andy Buck is director of governmental affairs for the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 7, which includes Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. He's also a 24-year member of Glazer's Local 1204. And Heidi Utronka is a four-woman painter for Common Links Construction in Brookfield and a member of the IUPAT Local 781. Andy and Heidi, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us today.
Andy, why does your union oppose this bill that would allow for more apprentices to be trained?
Well, thank you for the question, Kate. As somebody myself that spent 18 years in the field as a glazer, you know, we know that mentorship and one-on-one in the construction industry is the safest for our members and for our contractors. So somebody that, you know, talking with their folks, they, you know, have been saying the same thing. Wisconsin, as you know, started apprenticeships in 1911, and we're so proud of that model and want to continue the tradition and of what we've been building here in the state of Wisconsin. So, you know, we just from talking to our members, we know that safety is the number one issue here, and we're going to listen to what our members have to say.
Heidi, what goes into training an apprentice painter? What does that look like from start to finish?
It's pretty extensive. I mean, we try to do our best, I personally over-explain to them, but I mean, you're coming from, when I came in, I never even set foot on a construction site. So I was very green. And yeah, these kids, they don't know. I mean, they're very green. They don't know anything about it. Some of them have never been on, you know, a site before, and it's overwhelming, and it's a lot. I mean, we put a lot into them.
Andy, how well are your workers able to meet the current demand for skilled labor? Is there a need for more apprentices to be trained?
Oh, thank you for that question, Kate. We, you know, the worker shortage thing keeps coming up. I would say in the unionized construction world, all the trades from plumbers to insulators to roofers, we have people that want to join our ranks. I think our main issue is not a worker shortage. It's a placement of responsible contractors. We don't have enough responsible contractors to like a Common Links to put apprentices at. So that, you know, it gets talked about a lot of worker shortage, but we have a list of, you know, a lot of folks that want to join our ranks. We just don't have responsible contractors to put them at. In Wisconsin, you have to have a sponsor to become an apprentice. And so contractors, we're so proud of our joint labor partnership. Our contractor partners will put on the apprentices, and then the union will train them.
What do you mean by responsible contractors?
Well, contractors that invest back in their workers, that have great health insurance, retirement plans, and pay great wages.
Heidi, do you think you could handle training two apprentices at the same time? What might be the challenges there?
So I'm currently on a 5-story building, and you don't normally, you know, you're not always just in one area. You're all over this building. I mean, like even today, I have 5 people here and I'm one of them. So it's like every time I'm trying to show somebody something and I get them going, then somebody else calls me to do something. So if I'm trying to train two apprentices at once and I'm trying to run a crew of guys, Like, how am I supposed to show them when, like, oh, here, like, oh, here, you stay here by yourself because I have to go do this and help this other person. So it's not a well balanced for me to train them because I'm not there with them, which where I should be with them. You know, if I have two people just standing there watching me, I mean, that's not productive for us either. Then we're losing money. And then our contractors are like, well, what's going on? Why is this? Why is that? You know, why aren't we making the jobs? Why aren't we making the hours? Well, because I'm trying to train two people at once. Hmm. So you're paying for two people to watch one.
You're trying to show techniques. You're trying to demonstrate. You're trying to give feedback when the apprentice then takes over. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you want to be with them. You want to, you know, you just want them to watch you so that they can replicate what you're doing so that they can do it by themselves. But if I'm trying to, you know, just, it doesn't make sense for me to have two people standing there watching me. You know, we're not in a classroom situation. We're on a job site. You know, we don't have like, okay, an overhead projector or whatever. So here, watch this. All day long, we have to be hands-on. We have to still be getting stuff done while we're trying to train these people.
Hmm. Andy, what might be the consequences for your union and its workers if this bill were to pass?
Well, you know, I'm going to go back to safety being paramount. And, you know, Heidi was referencing the job site conditions. 96% of an apprenticeship about spent on the work site, only, you know, 4 to 5% are spent in the classroom. So our apprenticeships are anywhere from 6,400 to 7,400 hours in 3 to 4 years. And so when, you know, you're on a dangerous construction site, and like Heidi referenced, she's on a 5-story construction site right now. There's a lot of moving parts and pieces there. We want to make sure that our folks are safe and they're learning from their journey workers.
We have heard that Michigan is able to make this work, having a ratio that might be 2-to-1 or 3-to-1. What is your response to that, Andy?
A great question. Well, I think we would like to be more like Michigan right now. Michigan has repealed right to work. Michigan has reinstated prevailing wage. Michigan has invested in unemployment insurance that bumps up to, I think, $600 a week, where Wisconsin is the 10th lowest. You know, there's a lot of good things that Michigan is doing. And, you know, if I'm not mistaken, I think the original ratio was brought by the Walker administration. So, you know, from our opinion, that we want to keep our job sites safe and let Michigan do what they do, and Wisconsin being the leader in apprenticeships, we're going to continue to do what we do here.
Heidi, what is the difference between a skilled painter who is well-trained and one who isn't? Can you talk a little bit about the contrast?
So when you're not well-trained, I mean, these are the guys that are more likely to get hurt on the job, for one. I mean, the second thing is these guys are laid off. If you don't know what you're doing because you didn't have the right proper training, you're laid off for 6 months a year. So maybe you're working a half a year. So what's the benefit of that?
Well, Andy and Heidi, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for listening to us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Kate. Thanks for the time.
Andy Buck is with District Council 7 of the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades. Four-woman painter Heidi Utronka is a member of the IUPAT Local 781 in Milwaukee. They oppose a bill to expand the apprentice-to-journey worker ratio. Earlier, we heard from master electrician Jeff Disher of Stevens Point, who is among the bill's supporters.